You and I, Fess, need at some point to have a discussion.
Oh?
Yes. It's time for an intervention.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 181 of the Webcomic Beacon Core Programming here at webcomicbeacon.com. And, you know, we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com because there's too many things to list. And this week, it's actually been a while since we've had a Webcomic Beacon proper episode. We've had a couple of EPs in the past couple of weeks and this and that. So hopefully we have a full episode for you today. Well, I know we have a full episode for you here today. And the topic today is going to be payment and funding options that may be available to you or not. We'll be going into that momentarily. We are hoping to get Tanya on the show. She's having some computer issues, so when she gets on, she'll just sneak in if she can. We, as a carryover from the newscast we just recorded, as well as this show is a follow-up to episode 180, we have Eric Kimball of Exern.com, EXIERN.com. I've memorized that because I've had to spell it out so many times. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fess. You're one of the few people who do remember how to spell it, so I appreciate that.
Awesome. And let's see here. We've had a couple of... I'm hearing some echo. Anyway, this is what we're going to start with. We're going to start with talking about CC Bill and a couple other adult content funding sites or you know, credit card go-throughers. And so, Eric, since you largely set this up, would you mind taking it away from here?
Well, sure. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the adult credit card vendors and what's going on with Visa right now. Our other guests on here are Jeremy. Jeremy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello.
Tell us a little about the websites you do.
We run sexyfur.com and tailheat.com, which are adult furry media sites. And we've had some problems with Visa and all sorts of billing gateway companies in the past. And, basically we had to reorganize our entire business offshore because U.S. regulations kind of prevented us from earning any money at all.
And we'll get into that. Our other guest, I forgot how you wanted to be referred to. Please introduce yourself.
Mac Paladin, host of Moonhawk Studios Presents.
You've run into this problem as well. Just to start off, we're talking about adult payment options. And this is for any site that is classified as an adult site. And let's start back in the history, because it used to be if you had an adult site, you would use PayPal, which was the standard system for online payments. And then in 2003, something happened, right? Does anyone want to talk about that?
Yeah, apparently Visa decided to change their regulations regarding their affiliation with adult sites, specifically in the United States. And shortly thereafter, pretty much every payment processor fell in line with this new sort of mentality, because basically they had no choice. They had to do business with Visa or die.
Yeah. Jeremy, you said it was something to do with the Bush administration and let me look up the act name, 2257.
I don't know if it's solely because of that, but at the same time, the Bush administration had set aside a specific budget to investigate adult businesses, video, website, actual physical goods sales like sex toy shops, things like that. Basically, it didn't discriminate what type of adult media it was, but it was only usable to investigate adult businesses. And that was at the same time 2257 was rolling out, which was, I don't know how familiar you guys are with it. I mean, we're all kind of comic book people, so it doesn't apply to us, but it was a sort of an ID verification regulation that said you have to have two forms of ID proving that the actor in the film is of legal age to be in porn.
Now, as a quick addendum to that, I believe that that was actually an add-on, because 2257 has actually existed since 1995, requiring that all adult entertainment industries have a records-keeping to verify that all of their models and actors are over 18 years of age. And then they added this rider onto it called Protect, which was supposed to prevent children in the digital age from being exposed to harmful materials, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And essentially what happened was that it put quite a burden for record keeping on the companies. And so a lot of the companies cited that as dumping it. A lot of them cited chargebacks as it, but that didn't make any sense, since when a chargeback, they still applied the transaction fee to the company. And Visa took to this like a fish to water, and they imposed a $750 fee on all adult sites. So if you were an adult site and you want to do business with Visa in the U.S., you have to pay them $750, you have to pay them $500 a year. This was in name to pay for the price of making sure that you didn't violate the Child Protection Act, and to make sure you had the correct records on hand and you were in line.
Additionally, Congress insisted that a credit card alone was insufficient to determine age. So that created some other records keeping problems.
Yeah. So there seemed to be a campaign against adult media, and a lot of people dumped it. Now, here's a question. I mean, I can go all over the internet and I can find PayPal sites on adult sites all over the place. Are they accepting adult sites now?
No, they just haven't been caught yet.
Yeah. Well, I think actually Adam and Eve, they were advertising that you could pay with PayPal now. So I think it works for tangible items, but not intangibles like web content and photos and video.
Oh, right. Yeah. If you look through the terms of service of PayPal, as Jeremy said, they do allow you to sell physical toys, but only if you contact their business development division first.
My discovery with PayPal was the system that PayPal uses is they don't check sites. They will not look at your site. They will not see what you're doing on the site. The only way you could get in trouble for adult content is if someone reports you. And this is what happened with me, because I was looking at all these sites that had, and also Visa's definition of adult is, or not Visa's, PayPal's definition of adult is really vague. And so I was going through there and saying, well, sites that are worse than mine are using PayPal. I can use PayPal. Someone reported me, someone who did not like my site and did not like me. And then it turns out, if Visa finds you've been violating their agreement, specifically in pornography terms, they smack you pretty hard. And so you get banned from PayPal for life for doing that. And that's what happened to me. So it's kind of dangerous to use PayPal for adult content, because you can get away with it for a long time, but they peck mighty hard around there, as they say.
Well, we used to use PayPal. This is before they changed their regulations. And then after they changed their regulations, we got smacked, and they sat on thousands of our dollars for like 9 months before they released it to us.
Yeah, that's the other thing they do. They will just hold your money. The analogy I've been given is it's like taking your car into the mechanic, and the mechanic says, I don't want to work on this type of car, but I'm going to keep the car for 3 months because until I'm ready to release it.
Exactly. Like your money, just not you.
But, yeah, PayPal is not an option for adult sites. And when I talked to PayPal, PayPal said their official policy is any nudity in any form is adult. And so it is the highest standard of adult you can think of. It's also a little scary because it's kind of used as a weapon to sort of attack people.
That's been kind of a standard bearer in webcomics for the longest time. I don't think I've ever seen a webcomic out there that doesn't offer some kind of, I'll use one of my favorite terms on my show, skeevy incentives to try to get people to donate money. I mean, unless they're forgive the term, a holy roller site.
So I guess the story is, the moral of the story is to encourage MasterCard usage.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is then when you don't have PayPal, the next thing you go to is adult sites, adult payment gateways, and this is CC Bill and Veritol and Epic and a few others. Regular credit card companies will not deal with you directly. You have to go through one of these payment gateways, and they take about 15% of all transactions, in my experience. Is that what you guys have?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's the about 1.5% higher for European companies, they told me.
Now, the problem with this is now the Visa thing, which we were about to get into. And, Jeremy, do you want to talk about Visa's latest campaign on top of the price that they charge?
You mean their campaign against furries and vampires and elves?
Yeah.
Well, they actually introduced that regulation back in 03 or 04, I believe. And the thing is that we never heard about it until last year. We were still continuing to bill as a U.S. processor in the United States as a U.S. company. And we only found out about the regulation when we tried to open up a second website and were turned down by the compliance department. And basically our company rep at CC Bill said, hey, don't tell anybody, but since you were sort of grandfathered in and you were kind of overlooked during the first purge, we need to quietly get you out of the U.S. and into the EU as soon as possible. Because, I mean, we'd basically sort of slipped through the cracks for 6 years. So it became a mad dash to reincorporate as a European business and get into the European CC Bill processor to be able to continue to do business and to open the second website. So our opening of the website was delayed for about a year. And it's all because this ridiculous regulation exists in the United States and not in Europe.
And the regulation that Visa has is that any non-human characters, so it's vampires, werewolves, furries, anything, is considered too obscene for CC Bill for Visa to deal with. And in perspective, like I've said a couple of times, this is, Visa will deal with sites that talk about bondage and rape and robots and robot sex and all of this stuff, but furries, that's too obscene for them. So it's a very strange battle they're picking. And Jeremy, you said it was in since 2003.
Yeah, that's when that regulation went in place. And it all coincides back to that sort of, well, I don't know what to call it, like the moral majority kind of thing that happened when Reagan and his guys got into power. It happened again when Bush and his guys got into power. So you had, you know, the Republican right railing against it, and then you had the Democratic left seeking to control a few things and sort of riding the coattails of that kind of fervor that people want to make family values and propriety the order of the day.
And all they're doing is pushing businesses across the seas.
Yeah, Michael. Pretty much.
Yes?
I'm sorry, Mac Paladin. I'm sorry I keep on using the same.
It's all right. It's all right.
What's your experience with this?
Well, I decided that... let me go back a little further. In 2009, I started this kind of harmless, slightly skanky genie comic called Ship in a Bottle. And originally, we started with PayPal because I figured I could duck it because, you know, people were giving away free nudity here and there. I figured, all right, they're not going to do anything about it. And then fast forward to December of last year, somebody decided to make a $2 transaction and then within 30 seconds report it as a chargeback. In other words, this initiated an investigation. Of course, I saw this. I tore down all PayPal references and everything instantly before PayPal got their compliance hooves into it, because luckily they decided to do this maneuver on a Sunday. And PayPal doesn't work on Sunday. So I tore down all my stuff and I started looking into alternative options because I figured we were making okay money off of it and I needed to pay my artist somehow. So I went to see CBill, and of course they gave me the usual spiel. I knew about the $750 fee from Extern back in the day and the annual fee, and I said, all right, well, we'll try to get some money together in the meantime. At least this way I can get some signups and pay my artists. But we started a pay site that was focused on Ship in a Bottle. And this past week I decided with some financial assistance from my family to get through the visa verification process, and the compliance department gets back to me and says, all this stuff with the pointy ears has to go. And then they had all kinds of other regulations. You can't mention the fact that you take credit cards on your enticement page, which seemed a little odd. They had some weird things about copyright notices, but all of it was focused directly at Visa. Yeah. And they said in no uncertain terms here, and I've got the client support memo right here, that these specific things would not be allowed. At the time of review, the members area included images of non-human creatures in the sponsor links on the left-hand side of the page. So not only is it your internal content, but it's also your advertising. So anything that has it anywhere on the site is forbidden. And the only thing that they told me was that if I set up a company in the EU, then no problems. I'd be immediately approved. There'd be no review process and no fees. And I'm sitting there scratching my head going, what the heck is this?
Yeah, it's very odd. And I'm kind of surprised that Jeremy says it was set up in 2003, because my site went through back in about 2007 or 2007, 2008. Went through the approval process, and it had elves and stuff like that, and no problem at that time. It was only later that this year that suddenly Visa is coming out with these restrictions. And personally, I can't even find the Visa rules anywhere. I cannot find their official rules. I called up CC Bill themselves, and they say Visa does not give out the rules. The rules are not available to it anywhere for any reason, not even to CC members. So I don't know what they're doing, but it does seem like they are targeting furries for some reason.
Well, maybe what's happening is the rules have been there in the book for a long time, and just somebody's got, you know, a stick up their butt or something, and they're
wild hair.
they're being particularly sticklers about this particular rule. I don't know.
Yeah, but for my personal situation, it does seem like they are going after furries. And I've said before, I mean, Michael, you think they're going, Mac Paladin, you think they're going after all porn.
It just seems like it because they're trying to, first they cut out all of the quote unquote deviant fringe, and then it's only a matter of time before they attack the center. I mean, it's actually very Sun Tzu. You know, you pick off all the smaller, weaker, you pick off all the smaller, weaker ones that don't have as much public support, and then you go after the head of the dragon, so to speak. I thought it was kind of interesting. This comment right here was rather interesting. When they were reviewing my site, it actually says terms, themes, and marketing. And then in brackets, it says other violation dash non-egregious. In other words, it's not necessarily a disqualifying offense. But they're like, oh, it's like implied that something will go wrong. And it says, at the time of review, the tour includes depictions of non-human creatures throughout the website. These creatures have elf ears and animal features. Visa standards stipulate that all content must be only 100% human. To comply with Visa standards, please remove all depictions of creatures that are not 100% human. So, I mean, they basically said non-egregious, which to me means that it's not necessarily disqualifying if you want to take your chances.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, interesting the vampire aspect, because there are actual, like, you know, live porn sites that have vampire themes to them, including, like, you know, very high budget movies, and those guys aren't getting shut down.
Now, when we interviewed Gina Biggs of Filthy Figments on our own show, she said that they denied vampires because A, they were not fully human, which is kind of a crock because vampires were once human. But the main reason that they said was because it was combining pornography and blood, and that was what Visa had a fit about.
Interesting.
Yeah. This is what happened to me. I've gone through this process twice. And the first time around, I didn't hear anything about non-human characters. I heard about blood. And Visa said there can be no blood on the site whatsoever. And so the Visa process said there is no blood anywhere on your site allowed. Now, this was last year. They didn't say a word about non-human characters, and there were non-human characters on the site. They said, no blood, no graphic violence. My argument was, it's a fantasy comic, so people die. it's part of the point. What do you want me to do? Have people licked to death by kittens or something?
they've been X-zoned out of existence. It's Final Fantasy VI.
You can only lick them to death with blunt instruments that don't make blood fly around.
A sack of potatoes.
Yeah, but I simply said, all right. At that point, I said, all right, fine. And I said, wait a minute, it's in context. There's no sex and violence at the same time. They're in different parts of the story. No good. I said, okay. They said, it still has to go. I said, okay. I went through, and I removed all the violent scenes. And I said, all right, there's going to be one site that has all the nudity in it and another site that has the actual story. So I actually did that. I complied with them. I went through and removed that. A year later, I submitted, and now they're upset about the the mermaids. Now they're saying, you have mermaids in the fantasy set. I'm like, okay, really? You know, and I'm just sitting here, turn behind you. See that thing behind you? The thing you just crossed? That's the line. You just went over it. I was going to work with you to a point.
You blew it away with 150 caliber howitzer.
All right, so I want to understand Visa's stance. So they have outlawed depictions of Jesus. You have a half-naked man, bloody, who's some sort of cross between human and god.
No, half naked is not fine.
Half naked
okay.
is fine.
Right.
So naked the entire
it's just fully naked with blood.
So the early Catholic Jesus would be straight out then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to check and make sure that they were being full fledged.
Yeah.
By the way, welcome to the show, Tanya.
Yeah, hi. You told me to be quiet when I got on.
Just
and
meant once you get on, so that you don't so somebody doesn't come and go. Hi, can you hear me? Test. In the middle of a discussion. Anyway.
Sorry.
This is actually a good time to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up this conversation. I want to bring it back to a little bit more of the options that are out there, talking about the actual companies a bit more. Obviously, this is something of concern if your content deals with things that Visa objects to. But I would like to talk about the companies in general for those that may still qualify. We'll come back after break. And with that information.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on a Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
All right, we don't
Tanya, by the way.
Yeah, we don't actually have a break, though, but yeah.
I'm sorry you missed this. I think this would have been your conversation.
Oh, no, I heard it all. I was being quiet. I was confused. He told me to be quiet when I first got on, and I thought he meant, like, for the whole segment, and then...
Shut your mouth, woman! No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
I love you, Tanya. Before we get started again, is there anything that you heard that you did want to comment on and couldn't or didn't?
Just decided I couldn't. No, actually, I think that you guys are covering it very well. And I've never run any sort of credit card with anything adult, so not online anyway. So I don't know.
The environment's getting really hostile.
I've shown softcore porn in person, but that's kind of a different thing. And since the companies don't necessarily know what's being sold, you tend to fly under the radar there.
Right.
It's not like a website where they can go check. You know, it just says art print.
And that's the big problem. For example, back in 2009, AlertPay was the go-to alternative to PayPal. Mm-hmm. And I even found evidence on a forum where a representative from AlertPay said, "Hey, check out our new regulations. We've tried to become more adult friendly." And in the interceding year between 2009 and 2010, they completely revamped their website to eliminate what they call a secure account. The secure account was the preferred way you would go in to set up an adult website, and they eliminated that with prejudice and withheld everybody's money indefinitely. They didn't even offer a PayPal option, and then they restricted everybody to limited accounts to where it's like, "I'm sorry, but our Nazi brigade is going to have to look out for your payments from now on. If we even think you're trying to lick a postage stamp in a lascivious manner, we're going to ban your ass."
It's postage stamp was asking.
Is this related to the Republican victory in the House? Is this why this is all of a sudden happening? Because it literally does seem like in the last year, all of a sudden, we're going to go after the adult sites anymore again.
I think that there is a bit of a lobbyist turn there. The lobbyists do have to protect their jobs. You know, a lot of people talk about how the big corporations pay the lobbyists and the lobbyists screw up our government. But the lobbyists also have jobs to protect. So they put their own pressures on corporations in order to keep their politician dollars coming in. So generally speaking, when you have a strong Republican House or when you have a radical Republican contingent in the house, you are going to see things like that in the big dollar industries.
Well, and another observation that I have is that if you come to think of it, you're saying to yourself, okay, the adult porn industry is a multi-billion dollar a year business. Where's our lobby? Oh, wait, we make pretty cartoons on the net. We don't have a lobby.
No, you don't. You because don't have the kind of cash for a lobby.
I don't see Larry. I don't see Larry Flint hurting from this because he doesn't offer comics the way Penthouse used to. You know,
Larry Flint is a very powerful dude. He doesn't really need lobbyists. He can sort of use the free market to his advantage, like he does, offering rewards for, you know, people to come forward with their confessions of how filthy certain government officials are.
Yeah. Well, and Larry Flint also has court precedents for, you know, a lot of his practices. So where someone else has to kind of establish a link to precedents, he has direct precedents. He can do whatever the hell he wants at this point.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like if there could be a way that, I don't know, people could get together and then like have campaigns to write their senators and such and say, hey, this is stuff going overseas because they have to. Yeah.
Well, it has to. You know, there's sort of a disjointed, it's like herding cats, you know, all these adult industry people are so used to kind of having to live low-key and not be public figures, and the only real organized public effort for that is like the Free Speech Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think they're kind of buried in the stuff that they're trying to do in the first place, and all this other stuff just slips through the cracks.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, my website is pretty banal when it comes to pornography. It's pretty tame. And yeah. I just got caught up in something. I'm literally Sarah Connor number two in the Terminator movie. where I'm not the Sarah Connor. I'm just the Sarah Connor that the Terminator killed because he's killing all Sarah Connors in the LA area, you know. And it was one of these things. My artist is. It's one of these things. Once you get caught up in this, there's just no way out. And the same thing that happened to Mac Palin happened to me. Someone paid and then immediately registered a complaint on PayPal, and that just, I didn't realize that was their trick to trigger a review. I just said, what the heck's going on there? If I had been smart, I would have ripped down PayPal immediately.
Well, and there is an organized effort for those things. There's been an organized effort among certain religious groups, like the American Family Association, where certain segments of their followers have done that, have gone to different sites. They did it at Sears recently, where they purchased posters of women in bikinis and then immediately registered pornography complaints. And then you also have, believe it or not, PETA. PETA has registered a number of complaints against furry sites because they say that it encourages bestiology and therefore, animal abuse.
I mean, if anybody would be for bestiality, I mean, you'd think it'd be PETA. No, wait.
Now, you can't get proper consent from a dog.
The way it works, if you're a member of PETA, you can... if you're a woman in PETA can dress up like a tiger naked in a cage to promote this, but if you're just doing furry, then you're...
Find me these pictures! What? No.
Yeah. Picture didn't happen.
Yeah, because somehow she's promoting animal welfare, whereas you guys are promoting animal abuse. It's a twisted sort of philosophy, but a lot of, you know, radical groups have sort of twisted philosophies. But yeah. they are doing organized attacks against whoever they think
and they can. The saddest part of this whole story for me is I work with an artist in China, and so we're back and forth, and he's been keeping track on this, and he literally sent me a message yesterday. I'm so sorry that you live in a country where your free speech is so restricted.
Oh my God. From China. Oh, but we've been taught they're the evil enemy.
Oh, fatal stab to the heart.
So anyway, I do need to bring this back into. We have to come off the topic and cover. So we've talked about CC Bill a bit, and I guess if you're if Visa's not involved in somehow, or if you have something that's 100% human, what are the options open to adult sites? Because obviously PayPal doesn't allow it.
Not everybody jump in at once there, right?
Oops, I think we lost. Oh, wow, we lost half, almost everybody. So Mac, you seem to be the only one here. Eric just popped back. And Jeremy, oh, shoot. Why are we, this stupid new Skype.
Yeah. It does recover sometimes.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't work if everybody doesn't have it. But, yeah, I've not been happy with this. I've been dropping calls crazily. Oh. Hi, Tanya.
Hello.
Jeremy, are you back?
Hello?
Yeah.
I hear.
I am blaming the new Skype for this. So, okay, so we have CC Bill, and then somebody was talking about Veritol or something like that. Eric.
Veritol and
Veritol.
Yeah.
Veritol and Epic. They're all similar companies, and they're all beholden to the credit card regulations. So they're all pretty much the same. The only way around it is, as Jeremy's been saying, incorporate in Europe.
Okay.
No, that's not 100% true. Mm-hmm. Veritel is, well, they're a billing company based out of Amsterdam, and they do not discriminate whatsoever. Basically, they sort of put everybody under their own umbrella. So you can indeed, as an American business or as an American individual, bill through Veritel without any problems with your content.
But
they're not as good as CC Bill, in my experience.
So how do you mean? Yeah. Like customer service or just getting payments on time? Or
what customer service? Yeah. And getting your site set up. One of the things that's advantageous about CC Bill is that they do, basically at no additional charge, a full site setup. Whereas with Veritel, you're kind of on your own.
Ah, I see.
Well, Veritel will do it, but basically Veritel is a few years behind CC Bill in terms of technology and usability. And their customer service isn't prompt, and they
are out of Amsterdam, you said, so
yeah.
Really?
Ouch.
They have other fun things to do besides work for you.
Yeah.
But they're right. They're okay. And if that's your only option, then so be it. It's better, half of something is better than all of nothing.
So what are go ahead. I was going to ask, what are setup differences or overhead costs that you may have to deal with any of these companies for adult sites?
CC's Bill, well, no setup, no overhead.
Yeah. Well, Veritel's the same way. I don't think they charge you much. The only charge you have to pay is that $750 Visa fee to, pay tribute to the lords and get them to do your processing.
Would it be possible to just forego that and just say, can't accept Visa payments?
Yeah, that is possible.
It's always an option, but is it good for you? Probably not.
Mm.
Bearing in mind that Visa has become so ubiquitous that you actually can't go anywhere if you don't have Visa. For example, you go into Walmart, Walgreens, or anywhere that's offering prepaid credit cards or debit cards, 90% of them are going to be Visa. And this is how they've done a sort of predatory market penetration. So, for example, when I started up the PaySite, everybody's like, oh, I can't use my Visa card. And it's like, yeah, because I said that in the news post. And everybody's like, oh, okay, I didn't read the news post because I never read the news. And they were complaining incessantly about it. And I said, look, guys, I can't take Visa. And they said, well, what do I do? All I've got is a debit card. Well, what do I do? All I've got is my bank card and it's Visa. If you don't take Visa, you lose 80 to 90% of the credit market. And I mean, really, so that means that everything that's left over in this tiny little pool is MasterCard, CC Bill takes JCB, and Discover. American Express will not allow you to run an adult site, period, under any circumstances in any country.
Regardless of your genetic makeup. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm made of stardust.
Yeah. I think Michael's a little off on the percentages. I found it's more around 50%, but you're losing half your market right there.
At least.
And I mean, with my own personal, I'm not accepting Visa. I'm not going to accept Visa. I'm taking the hit on this. I cannot deal with that company anymore. I mean, that was the line, and I'm just telling people, donate to charity. Please use a check, not a Visa card, to donate to charity, and then just tell me and I'll set you up. I can't take their money. I cannot deal with that anymore. And it's one of those things. I know it doesn't matter to Visa, and I know it kills my business, but at least I feel like I have some integrity at the end of that.
Integrity can be expensive, but yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. My integrity is more flexible. I kind of have to have Visa.
Well, yeah, you have an employee. Integrity is great until you're putting people out on the street. And
yeah.
Well,
when you're paying other people, yeah, then that's
kind of unrelated, but slightly related. I know that there's a lot of gay marriage protesting going on right now. Like people that are same-sex couples are mm-hmm. protesting by filing as married couples, and they're not supposed to do that. But but they have to pay more. So yeah, integrity does cost. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
and you know what? Kudos to all of you, and I'm really sorry, but you're all going to get audited. I'm so sorry. I wish it weren't the case, but.
And wait. Jeremy's trying to protect his employees. What are you, un-American?
I don't necessarily even try to protect. I'm just saying, like, just to keep them fed, you know? I mean,
he just doesn't want them to starve to death. That's
it's amazing what
when they're dead and starving, I can't really get anything out of them.
See, now that's the American way, right?
Yep,
there.
Yep.
Feed them enough so that they can work, damn it.
Wow. All right. Well, I think this is where we're going to have to end the show. Eric has to go. Thanks for sticking around and sharing this story with us. Same for Mac and Jeremy.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to other options for payment, but this has been a very important discussion. And if there's any important links that we should know about, be sure to just let us know, and we'll put them in this news post. But...
Okay.
So, Eric, once again, from exiern.com, thanks for coming. Mac, what's your website again, Mac?
The main site is starshipmoonhawk.com.
All right. And, Jeremy, do you have a home site that we can link you?
Sure, yeah. It's www.sexyfur.com or www.tailheat.com.
Keep in mind, linking to those sites, you're now in violation of these sorts of requirements if you link to those sites. Just
really, really. Well, we don't have a problem with that, I guess. But so once again, thank you all for coming on the show. And we'll
thank you.
Good luck in your endeavors, and we'll catch you later.
Thank you.
All right. I'm trying to get paid, big fence in the May, lemonade in the shade. Hey. Broke, can't see that shit. You can have that though. Oh, I'm tryna get paid. Big bits in the made, lemonade in the shade. Hey, I ain't with being broke. Can't see that shit. No. You can have that though. Oh, I'm tryna get paid like Bill Gates, but keeping streets worth 50 P on 28. Each week treat a new freak. Got plenty dates. They want me like obese peeps want sweet cake. With the dollars that blow through my fingers, she tryna stay close, hoping she gon' get ringed up. But no, ma'am, I'ma stay living single. Can't you see a boy is a star like Ringo? I play the game to win, I'ma scream out bingo. Then spin through your bin in the smoke ring swingo. And she never watched that flat screen plasma. Inside of the coupe, lost her breath, called asthma. I hit the button, the seat warmed the butt.
about beef, the V arm a dub. I'm the rubber, you the glue, shoot at me and hit you. I know your mama miss you, so as I pass the tissue, I'm like, hey, I'm tryna get paid, big pics in the maid, lemonade in the shade. Hey, testament, that's your missing me. Crystal licking and kissing me. Sicily's head and gripping me. Yeah. My meals cooked by Tanya. Wonder how much in my account, nigga, none, yeah. Hey, I'm laid up with no pass through bills, bitch, they paid up. I done went from kinda minor to major. I kept my metro and got a two-way pager. Now when I ride by, the kids feel great. They love to see a car like mine that roller skates. Hey, haters motivate me to get more cheese, grip chips, bed and cake. I gotta have it, so I'ma do what it takes until I see my shit dipping like pancakes. I'm like, hey, 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 hey. I'm like, hey, 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 hey. I'm like, hey, I'm tryna get a big bits, hey, made lemonade, hey, and shade, hey.
That was Trying to Get Paid by Mr. 427, found at musicalley.com by Mevio. We have one milestone this week, and, well, actually, it was reported a while ago, but we haven't had a regular show for a while. So this is Kitsune Kiki at angryrabbit.com has finally hit their 100th comic, so congratulations on that. In the coming weeks, I'm going to be changing the milestones a bit to make them a little bit more significant for those who like to participate in these sorts of things. Your first year or your first 100 comics, those I want to hear about. Your fifth year and your 500th comic, that's what I want to hear about. And your 10th year and your 1,000th comic, that's what I want to hear about. These are major milestone steps in webcomics. And I would like to put the emphasis on those. We'll see how this works out. But you can still, as always, send us your milestones at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And that's it. Back to the show. All right. As I said, this show is kind of a little bit of a follow-up to episode 180, Hello. The newscast.
Hello.
But we are now going to be talking about some additional payment and funding options that may be open to people that don't deal with adult content. And there's one particular website that's called I've Seen Around, and people may have seen it, but we may not know that much about it. It's called Flatter, with two T's and no E before the R at the end. And with us, we have Max Valling with us, who does a webcomic called Connie Van Elsing. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, and I was talking with you on Twitter the other night, and you were telling me that you you could fill us in on what the heck this Flatter thing is, and if it works or not.
Yeah, I gotta say, I've only been doing Flatter for about 3 months now, or 3.5.
Okay.
So I've only had a brief glimpse of it so far. But I've been following the news about Flatter for, well, ever since it came up about a year ago. So maybe I can actually fill you in. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah. Flatter is kind of a mixture between the Facebook like button and micropayment.
Okay.
It's something pretty much like a like button, but if you click it, somebody gets paid. somebody else than
yeah,
Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much Facebook. Facebook doesn't get paid. So do people then sign up and, like, you know, sign in with their credit information, or where's the money coming from?
You have a set of means every month that you can set for yourself. You kind of PayPal them some money, and that's your means.
Oh, okay.
And my Flutter amount, as they call it, is like €2, which is the minimum. Mm-hmm. And every month you pay those €2 or whatever it is. And anytime you click on a site during that month, that site gets a fraction of those €2. At the end of the month, they count how many sites you clicked on and spread the money between all of those.
I think the website has a video where it likens it to sharing a single pie amongst however many people you have at your party or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much like that.
Something that you're telling me, I wanted to clarify. It sounds like you have to sign up and put some money into it in order to even have a Flutter plugin on your site.
Yes, that's true. It's personally, I think it wouldn't work otherwise, because otherwise you'd have a lot of people who expect money to come from Flutter and nobody who paid anything.
Mm. Right.
So I think it's kind of a condition for it to work. I think they're changing the game now a bit, but I'm not really sure how yet. Mm. But the idea is that everybody who's in Flutter pays those €2 or more a month, and uses Flutter to Flutter others too. Personally, I find it actually quite fun to browse sites, and if I like something, I look for a Flutter button and I click on it. I mean, I usually don't donate to sites because it's too messy for me, and with Flutter I do. So,
but, and on that side, I do think totally it's psychologically more positive. I know that, you know, if I go to a site and it says, you know, donate with PayPal, I know that clicking that button, I'm going to have to log in, and then I have to determine an amount and blah, 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 blah. If I can just go like, it's so much, so much easier. And psychologically, it's not really like you're spending money, because it's a bill that you pay every month. Like anything else, it's going to feel different when people do it. So I wonder if you're not going to have a higher rate of donation just because of the psychological differences.
It could be. There's also the one difference where you don't have a pay threshold in the way. Like every time you pay with PayPal, you have to think about, oh, do I really want to spend this money right now? How much can I spend? You don't have that with with Flutter,
right?
Because the money is already spent.
Yeah.
You just decide who gets it.
Just like a bill, it's already gone.
and then you could be mischievous. It's like, haha, I'm going to put my $5 in, which it might be $5, €2, $5. I'm not sure. But
I think it's €2 with Flutter. There's another system called Kachingle. They have $5, I think.
Kachingle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you could put your, like,
the American version of Flutter.
It is, I think. Yeah, I think it's American.
put your minimal monies in, and then like as many as possible, and then they'll get like 3 cents. It's a little silly.
There's the chance. I mean, there's it is not very long tail friendly. I mean, if you have a site that nobody ever uses and you have a Flutter button on that, you pay your €2, but nobody comes around to pay you any money. Mm. So the money just gets lost. I think for everybody who really makes money on Flutter, there must be a lot of people who don't.
That was the concern.
And €2, by the way, is about $2.88.
Oh, okay.
for American.
All right.
Got some inflation issues.
It keeps getting more, too.
Doesn't it, though? It's astonishing, isn't it? I keep watching that rise. Since I pay people sort of all over the world, those conversion rates can be a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that every time I pay money to Project Wonderful.
Yeah.
Because it always gets less for me.
A lot less. Yeah.
So, seems to be an option. Something I might look into, but like I said, it's
I think if you looked at your $2.88 that you put into it, if you looked at that as supporting other artists rather than an attempt to get money back for yourself,
right,
you wouldn't have that, you know, oh, I'm not getting any money from this. You know, you'd really have to look at it as sort of a charity project that you might benefit from.
I also That's think a good there are way. A lot of users who only pay and don't have a flatter button themselves.
Right.
Oh, see? Yeah.
You know, people can sign up and give the one. By the way, I have to ask, where are you from? I'm not entirely sure what your accent is.
I'm German.
German,
okay. I was
going
to say, yes.
I'm curious. I like accents. So, all right. Well, that's something for people to look into. I have been noticing a couple of webcomic sites that have gotten it. I've seen Last Resort have it recently, which is like, oh yeah, I remember Flatter, because I heard about it when it first came out, and then I didn't hear about it until, you know, 3 months ago, and it's like, oh yeah. Max, like, yeah, 3 months ago, and then there might have been a surge then. Yeah, about 3 months ago is when you started putting it on your site, so...
Yeah, when I started, everybody did it. But no, the thing is, it is very popular in Europe, not so popular in the US, I think. When I researched it last year for a Comics Talk article, it was like most of the traffic about Flatter, around Flatter, came from Europe, and a lot of that came from Germany.
Ah, where's this? I wonder where the site originated, the Flatter.
It's from Sweden.
Sweden, okay. So not that much correlation, but yeah, it's still in Europe.
Like Euros.
Yeah, Euros. Already. We will post a link to that, and if we end up getting a Flatter, hopefully people will flatter us. But Max, thanks very much for coming on the show and telling us about this and your experiences.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And once again, what's the website that you can give out?
You mean mine, not theirs?
Yes.
Your website.
The English language website is on the.dreadfulgate.de.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So instead of the www, you have the, and that makes it English.
Okay.
Good. Perfect.
Is the German version die dot dreadful gate? Or is it?
No, that's really just www.
Oh, okay. I thought there might have been. Okay, never mind. Anyway, thanks, Max, for coming on the show. And check out his website and check out Flatter.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, bye.
No problem. See ya.
Bye.
All
I
right.
I like the idea.
Well, I was skeptical of the idea when you had to pay in, but you did make a charity sort of thing that you might benefit from does make a little bit more sense.
It's like, you know, I mean, I give money to autism research, mm-hmm. right? It's not like I'm expecting to have direct benefit from that, but since I have an autistic son,
right.
there might be some benefit from that.
Some indirect benefit.
Yeah.
Or eventually down the line, direct. I know what you mean.
I really think it's a smart. I mean, psychologically, that's smart because when people pay their bills, you know, this is just another bill that's automatically paid. That money is gone before you even have it in your mind. So psychologically, when you're clicking that like button, you're not spending anything. Whereas when you click a PayPal button, you are. Obviously, in reality, it's the exact same thing, but psychologically, it's very different. So
right.
I'd be surprised if you didn't actually make more money off of a system like this than you would off PayPal.
Well, like you said, it's not that much in America yet, but maybe with the Webcomic Beacon bump, maybe. I think I'll actually look into putting it on the new site once we get it going and figure something out. I'm also considering making a subscription area. I don't know what to offer, but... I don't know, maybe record the pre and after shows and upload those for extra I'd be thinking it's like for people that want to help us out, and I can give them at least a little something, and you know, some sort of, you know, help us out subscription model so we can get, you know, various stuff for the site and whatnot. I did my taxes. I had to take it to H&R Block, and this is the first year I'm actually claiming Festworks LLC stuff and the Webcomic Beacon. Yes, taking out some computer stuff for personal use, which is I'm doing 50%, over $1,600 expenses towards the Webcomic Beacon, PSI, the Shifter Archive, everything that I do.
That's about half what I spent on Betapwned when it was running.
Well, this is the second year that I've had the LLC, but this is the first year I am running. Apparently, the LLC is not have anything to do with taxes when it's a sole proprietorship.
No,
and I didn't realize this.
Yeah, the business taxes are the same. Limited liability just means that really just has only to do with how they can sue you.
Yeah, protections and such like that. So I still have to get a tax number.
Can they take your house or not? That's really all the LLC comes down to.
Right. And but I did find out that I might have counted too much income. I don't think I really earned $250.
Any income under $1,000, it's not like they're going to audit.
Right.
They don't care. It's too fine.
Melissa told me that you could post losses for 7 years, and then somebody else told me it's 3 years, so I'll have to look into that before they start getting on you.
Well, when I was doing Betapwned as a business, Betapwned Enterprises, I had a lengthy discussion with a tax attorney. And they said that you can up to 5 safely, but that most tax attorneys will recommend only reporting a loss for 3 years running. Because at 3 years, that's when the pink flags start coming up. And then at 5 years, they're red flags. If you're running a loss by 7 years, you're in trouble now. Like, they're definitely going to audit you. Sorry. But,
right.
But so they recommend 3 years as a safe zone.
So I have to come up with a business plan is what you're saying.
I think I just peed. Yes. Yes. You have
okay.
To have a
see, because right now I got step one, do stuff online. Step two, question mark. Step three, profit.
Nice. I like the question mark. A lot of people have that business plan, and I think that's why so many people succeed. Yeah, you need a better business plan, and the business plan has to have an actual budget attached to it that includes your profit from, you know, I'm assuming work that you're supporting this with.
But. I'm counting on, this is a lot of startup stuff going on, and what I'm really going to really push for is I'll have like a special deal or sale on advertising for the new Webcast Beacon network. Mm-hmm. So it'd probably be like $10 per episode, at least until it goes back up to $20. Cause I haven't really been pushing it lately at all. And I'm going to be doing some integration stuff here and there so that it's exposed. It's basically stuff I said last year and I didn't do, but I really got to do it this year because I'm doing taxes now and figuring that sort of thing out. But, you know, a banner on the post as well as an audio ad, essentially.
What you really want to do is when you sit down and to make your business plan, make a business plan for 5 years at a time, 5 year blocks. And what you want to do is plan it out so that you're showing less and less of a loss each year. And you can do that in skeezy sort of ways. One of the most common ways is your first year running, really, really inflate your advertising budget. Make all the advertising that you'll be using maybe for the next 5 years, but really inflate that advertising budget because they expect your first year loss to be pretty massive. My first year loss was $5,000 plus, you know, it was like $5,000 and change.
Yeah, but I couldn't.
That was a lot.
I didn't write anything down. I made a spreadsheet. I didn't write anything down. I didn't have a receipt for it.
Which is good. No, that's perfect. But you can have a receipt for advertising. I mean, because when you write your business plan, if that's in your budget, that is a receipt as far as the IRS is concerned. If you're doing your own advertising artwork, you're paying yourself. That's perfectly allowable. So, you know, you inflate that first year, especially with things like advertising that the government would expect to be large, and then have it progressively less and less loss over those years. If you don't make more and more profit over those 5 years, you're at least making less and less of a loss. You know, you're having less and less of a loss.
Well, I don't know if I can. There's some questionable things. Apparently, PayPal won't count. No, wait, not PayPal. PayPal can count it because that's funds. but Project Wonderful is credit until you take it out.
Yes.
So I earn, it's not really income, I earn credit from Project Wonderful, and I talked to the tax guy, he says, from what I, how I described it, it, I wouldn't need to count that unless I'm withdrawing it.
The way the project, the way I worked Project Wonderful for my taxes was I put all of Project Wonderful into basically a rotating advertising budget. So I budgeted so much for Project Wonderful and then whenever possible used my Project Wonderful funds that I made to do my own advertisements. Anything that I cashed out, then I added as advertising income.
Yeah, and I don't know how I'm going to claim this, but I'm basically, well, I quote unquote sold a computer to Diana, and but I'm getting artwork back for the Webcast Beacon, so I'm not sure how I'm supposed to.
You don't
to
get to
that.
Claim that at all.
So
market
it's,
trade is what's that is what that's called.
Market
you
trade.
See that a lot at conventions where people will trade like their comic for someone else's comic. Market trade is considered a zero sum game. It's not considered expense and income.
Okay, I just got to double check because also I'd have to check with her if she if and how she's claiming that or not. By the end of the end of next year, I'll have to confer with her. So market exchange is what you're calling that.
Yeah, market exchange or market trade.
Okay, market trade.
Typically, a small business, you're going to run into trouble trying to claim that. Okay. If you're a huge corporation and you can pay a lawyer, yeah, go for it. but as far as you go, maybe not so much.
All right, it's good information to know. And we're talking about payments and funding options, and a little bit of tax information could be.
Maybe we need to have a show on. You know, business plans.
We should, and we need to find. Yeah. We should probably see what we could find for people that are pretty good on that.
I can get Stan Yan, who runs Squidworks. He's the head of the Squidworks Comic Co-op, and he was an accountant for years.
Very
good at that sort of thing.
Make it so.
I will make it so.
Engage. Anyway. okay, so we have a call in from somebody. I talked to yesterday that uses something called Square, and I'm going to attempt to play this.
It's my favorite thing ever.
I'm going to attempt to play this, so let's see if this works. Bear in mind, there might be some audio fixing here. All right, we do have a call-in to tell us about this next payment option. It's called Square, and we have Caitlin Vilbrandt, if I'm saying that correctly, of the webcomic Walking on Broken Glass. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I just heard about Square Up not too long ago, and I was looking for different ways to take credit cards because I was going to my first con, and most of the ways to take credit cards were you'd have to pay a monthly fee, and you'd have to maintain. Or you'd have to maintain a certain, you know, amount that you were going through, and it was more pricey than I really wanted to go with.
Right.
So, but then it was recommended to me to look up Square, which is squareup.com, and basically you sign up for a free account, they send you a free card reader, and you get a free app for your smartphone. Oh. And all it is that every time you swipe a card, you pay them a percentage fee, and that's pretty much it. And I've used it a few times. It's the card reader has a bit of a hard time actually reading the cards, but you can key it in manually for a little bit higher cost.
So what kind of costs are we talking about here?
Well, if you are able to swipe the card, it is just a 2.75% fee that they pile on top. And then if you are keying it in manually, it's a 3.5% plus a 15-cent fee.
Okay, so let's figure this out. Say if you had like a $10 thing times 0.035. That's like only 35 cents for a $10 item plus 15 cents, so that'd be like 50 cents for a $10 item if you key it in manually.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound that bad at all, really.
No.
I mean,
and I just basically put up a sign at my booth saying, yeah, I accept credit cards. It will be X amount for a credit card fee, and then sort of worked out the math from there.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so you got this thing that basically just plugs right into the phone, right?
Yeah, it plugs into the headphone jack.
Weird. Actually, I have to admit, I talked to you earlier about this, and I did actually go and sign up and mm-hmm. and take a look. So I guess they'll be sending me the little thing, and I'll be able to check that out. PayPal has, like, you know, PayPal funds and like an account before it hits your actual bank account. Does it work somewhat similarly?
Yeah, it keeps, I believe it keeps it in the in your Square account, and then you can send it on to your bank account afterwards.
Okay. Have you ever had a transaction yet?
Like I have not technically. I mean, I tested it out, so there's a dollar in my account. But after trying to swipe a card at the convention, the other person just decided to pay cash. So that's
So you don't actually have like full on experience with this, but you are familiar with it a little bit. So if there's anybody else out there that has heard of Square and has used it and has any interactions that they would like to tell us about with it, send us an email or post a comment in this show's blog post, and we can share that information with other people. So, Caitlin, I would like to thank you for bringing this to my attention. I'll be checking it out myself.
Absolutely.
And once again, you can check out... Actually, here, tell us a little bit about your comic. Are you the writer or the artist, I'm going to guess, since Samantha Mathis is the other person that works on this?
Yes, Samantha Mathis is the writer. I am the artist. And it is a supernatural office dramedy romance about murder.
it sounds like I've heard that description before. Maybe I saw you describe it on Twitter. I'm not sure.
I tend to use it on the advertisements. It tends to get people's attention.
Well, alrighty. Well, everyone, you can check that out check out Walking on Broken Glass at brokenglasscomic.com. Caitlin, thanks for being here with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. See ya.
See ya.
All right. So that was actually a pre-recorded call-in because she was unavailable today. And, so, Tanya, you sound like you've had some experience with this already.
I have. I love it. I was following the news on it for quite a while before they became available, kind of for anyone to sign up. And you know, as soon as I realized that I could sign up, I did. I got it in the mail within. I got my little dongle in the mail within 3 days. Yet to have any problem with a transaction. They do go directly to your bank account. It's not a pool like PayPal that you have to cash out. It goes directly into your bank account within 3 days. I've never had it been longer than 24 hours. It's okay. Always been there the next day, but I haven't done any massively large. I think the most I've done is a couple $100. So
on the site, it seems like it will pause after $1,000 in the first 30 days or something like that. So I think there's
after $1,000, then they'll hold it for longer. Just because, you know, they're basically looking to eliminate fraud.
Right.
But, the money's always been there the next day. Goes directly to your bank account. I haven't had any problems with the reader. So I don't know if, you know, it may depend actually on your cell reception.
Could be.
If you get poor cell reception wherever you are, it's obviously going to have issues with the reader because
right.
when you swipe the card, it actually verifies the account right then and there. So, you know, especially if you're doing debit cards and things like that, you'll know if they don't have the money in right. the account.
It also could have been just a bad magnetic strip on that card that yeah. one time she had. So
they put it in the dryer 6 times and now it doesn't work anymore.
It's kind of... kind of interesting that, you know, there's a price difference between using the swipe and punching it in. I'm guessing it's cheaper if you have it out, and then people might be like, oh, what's that? And then maybe you know, kind of like a promotional
Actually,
thing. They see you using it.
It's the same with any credit card swiper. With, like, if you go to a restaurant and your card doesn't swipe and they have to key it in manually, they pay more on that transaction. That's Weird. Standard with all credit cards.
Wonder why.
I think, it started as kind of a fraud protection. The idea that you want to see the physical card with the physical name and be able to check that. So I think it's to discourage, I guess, repetitive fraud. That's the only way the extra percent and whatever would bother you.
Right. So but, I guess it's just a standard thing that they have to do versus their own little thing.
Yeah, no, that's just with the credit cards. That's standard.
Okay.
The other cool thing about Square is that you it automatically will email them a receipt, and you can customize your receipts to where it has your company logo on it. You can set in basically like frequently purchased items. So if you're going to a convention and you're selling prints for $5 a print, you don't have to put in the $5 for each and every one. You just click selling a print. It sets up the transaction for you, sets up the receipt. You swipe it, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. Really, really nice. And you do stand to earn more at any convention if you can take credit cards. You're always going to run into those people who are like, oh, man, I would totally buy this, but I just spent all my money over here. Do you take credit cards? And every time you say no, you've just lost a sale. It's a lot easier if you can say yes.
Yeah, let's see here. I'm thinking about some other payment and funding options that we may have. PayPal, obviously, is a big one. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to find a link to PayPal's actual micropayments information.
It's under business services. Okay. Basically, the micropayments through PayPal differs only in the percentage rate. With micropayments, you pay a slightly higher percentage rate. I think it's actually over 5%, but you don't pay the per transaction charge. So I think regular PayPal is 2 point whatever and a 15 right. cent charge. And then the micropayments, a higher percentage rate, but no charge.
Let's see here. PayPal is a little bit one of those you can wrangle through some of its fees by going through quote-unquote personal transfers or personal but of course, you know, like between friends, if your friend is buying something through you, you could ask them to do it a personal so you can avoid the 2.9% plus 30 cents charge, which is ridiculous for small payments. I mean, really. I remember when people used to do like dollar donations or, you know, pay a dollar in PayPal and get this wallpaper. But you do that with their current pricing, that's like 40 cents.
Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous.
The micropayment is smarter for things like that.
Yeah. The problem with that is that when you make the personal transactions or engage in that with somebody and you're actually buying something, you lose all protection that PayPal would offer for when you buy something.
You can't complain if the product is defective. You can't. And it's also difficult on your end to refund that money. You get charged the percentage rate both ways, whereas if you have the business account and you do a refund, they refund your fee and your right. percentage as well.
Well,
so
under a business account, I think you can still do the personal thing and it won't charge you.
But your refund is still screwed.
Right. Because I think somewhat recently, I think in the last year, they simplified the percentages between the personal account and the business account. Mm-hmm. The main difference is in getting paid and the amounts of which you can get paid. But I think the percentages are the same.
Yeah.
As far as we were talking about micropayments, I only found a couple of sites that reference it that aren't maybe directly PayPal, but they say it looks like the 5% plus 5 cents up to, I forget the dollar amount, but
$10
up to $10. And I was, does this is this also underneath subscriptions?
Now here, let me log in.
Yeah, because I think they have like individual payments, and I think when they first came out with this, PayPal did, when we covered it. Mm-hmm. It was originally they were talking about for micropayments as subscriptions and not necessarily one-time payments. And then someone said one-time payments still count. But I'm going to guess that you actually do need a business account for this.
You have to have the basic business account enabled, and then you choose basically whether the transaction, the button that you're setting up, whether that's going to be a micropayment or whether that's going to be, whether you want it on the regular terms of service. I am set up. I do have the business payment standard, which through PayPal is free. It's not an issue. let me see if I can find the micropayments. Yeah, the recurring payments is different now than the micropayments. So,
yeah, I haven't trolled the website to find all this because I don't find it that easy to. There's a lot of words and such all over the site that. Fine print and you got to read this, but you also got to read that, and so it's easy to get lost.
It is definitely sort of it's a financial site. You know, it reads very much like a bank and not a lot like a webcomic.
well, yeah, you know, I want PayPal in pictures. Damn it.
Well, no, I just mean it's not necessarily customer friendly, especially when you get into the business services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that they assume a different clientele, and so it's geared up. Yeah, here we go. Micropayment pricing, 5% plus 5 cents per transaction, and it's low value transactions under $10. So there we go.
Yeah, give me the link so I can post the link. Because I've only been finding like other sites like paypal-labs.com, which I don't know is really PayPal or not.
There you go.
So
have that one instead. That's actually there.
Oh, that is. That's what I've been looking at. I wasn't sure if that's real PayPal or not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
PayPal
cool.
Labs is there. This is how we explain our stuff.
So as far as like other fundings, I had written down a few. No, that's... TF2. It's not podcasting. Payment options. Here we go. We talked at the top of the show about CC Bill, Veritol, Epoch, and a couple of others. We talked about Flatter. We talked about Square. PayPal. Somebody else mentioned Checkout Accept Pay or something like that. I think Google has... Google Checkout exists, but that's more for like, you know, products and may have a little bit more overhead as far as like actually a setup.
Yeah.
So there are options. A lot of people are thinking about options for quote unquote tip jars. I personally discourage tip jars if you are new. Nobody's ever heard of you. You're a brand new comic. You got 10 pages of okay comic, maybe, hopefully, and there's a tip jar, and it pisses me off because you're kind of being pretentious. In the use of excuse, you're already getting the comic for free. That's not the model of webcomics anymore. And that's not good business practice anyway, because people like to get something, even when you donate for a cause, you get a T-shirt, you get a CD compilation from The Current for when you donate for the, you know, even, you know, good causes, a lot of times they'll offer something for you to donate, a mug, a decal for your car, a bumper sticker. It's a mindset. It's good practice to offer at least a something. For any donations, and that's why I usually recommend a wallpaper or a downloader or high quality image of something as option.
The only exception I can think of is if there's been some sort of a disaster, you know, house has caught fire and you've lost everything.
Yeah.
Those kind of charity drives, right. You know, disaster drives, have been very popular, and they don't often.
Right. And as far as the tip jar isn't always that bad. I mean, a lot of more established people will have them, and it's, you know, they'll donate if you'd like. I mean, we don't have an actual button for it for us, but occasionally people have asked, hey, I'd like to help out or whatever, or like, you know, a site with actually, you know, with actual page views, could easily get away with that sort of thing. There are many ways people can go about it, but if you're starting out, nobody's heard of you, and you have a tip jar, that's not really cool.
I can see maybe putting it in the FAQ. You know, hey, if you want to start out, you know, if you want to help out a starting artist, if you like what I'm doing and you want to see me continue,
right,
you know, give me money. Putting it on the main page is a bit much.
Pretentious.
I did it. I totally did it.
I think I'll admit that at one point.
Straight out.
Yeah. I think we all do. It's like one of those bad habits that webcomicers tend to do. It's same thing with, gotta set up that Cafe Press, you know, website to sell those stupid t-shirts.
Please don't.
I did that. Mostly, I have no fucking idea what I was doing.
At the very least, go with Zazzle. At the very least. Cafe Press, the t-shirts fit funny and they're odd. Zazzle's, the shirts at least feel like shirts, I guess. I have serious problems with the quality that comes out of Cafe Press. The printing looks great. It doesn't really matter if you don't want to wear the shirt.
Right.
I do need to make a quick correction. I was wrong that you do not get to choose micropayments per button. When you sign up for a business account, you decide right then and there whether you want their regular, you know, your existing business with the 2.9 and the 15, or whether you want the 5% and 5 cents. For micropayments, you decide that right up front.
And then you have
a micropayment account. And that means that if you do get $40, that $40 will come through as 5 cents and 5%, even though it's over the the recommended micropayment amount of $10. So unless you're only accepting micropayments, it's probably not the best solution.
Huh. Wait a minute. Why would it sounds like that's the best solution if they'll allow higher pricing?
Because you're getting it at a higher. They're charging you a higher percentage rate.
Oh wait, after you go above 10, they charge even more.
No. It's 5%. So if okay, so
oh right.
Only charging $1, you have a micropayment, right? You have your 5 cents, and then 5% would be another 5 cents. You've got your 10 cents on your dollar, right?
Okay.
Great. That's no problem. If that's $100, you're paying a great deal more in that percentage rate under the micropayments than you would be under the regular PayPal agreement.
So it sounds like you need to have two banks and two accounts.
Maybe. Or you just have to think really carefully about what you sell. If mostly what you're selling are subscriptions and, you know, $5 prints, then yeah, that makes a lot of sense for you. If most of your market is based on t-shirts, that's probably a crappy deal. So, you know, personally, I'm selling print comics and prints and posters. The micropayments make sense for me. I also sell a subscription part of the site. So that makes sense. But if you're selling big stuff, if you're selling originals for $80, you're getting hosed.
Well, I have, I think, a personal account and a business account because I have two different banks. So if I upgrade the personal account to a micropayment business account, that could work. Because PayPal, come on. You're being needlessly complicated.
And I do, like, you know, most people I know who have comics and use a PayPal account, I do have two PayPal accounts. I have one that goes to my business checking and one that goes to my personal checking. Obviously, I can use either one of those for the business. It's just they need a different, you know, a different checking account number. Right. So,
well, we'll have to look into that if I'm going to want to do a sort of quote-unquote premium section. I don't know. I think it'd be fun to have a members area so I can play with some WordPress settings and it seems cool, and then get people to register.
It's a bit convoluted to set up. I'm having difficulty setting up membership with the site.
You have to download other plugins.
I have, and it's still a bit convoluted.
Well, there's private. You make private pages.
Oh yeah, no. It's very simple. As long as what you're doing is very simple. If you want to have different membership levels, if you want to have, let's say, I want to be able to give out a code at a convention so that people get a free 1 month subscription to the site, then I have to pay for that plugin. There's not a lot of free options that allow for, you know, a great deal of versatility, which makes sense. So for $60, wow. $65, I can then hand out a code that says, you know, you get a free month. Otherwise, I'm going to have to figure out, you know, add in an extra section and have people put in their code, and then I have to regulate that on my own. Yeah, it gets convoluted. It does. Mm. If you're looking to do any sort of giveaways with the
I don't know, maybe I can get Mike to make a plugin. No.
When all else fails, give it to somebody else.
Well, yeah, no. Mike who does Webcomic and Inkblot is doing the new website for the Webcast Beacon Network. It's still getting there. He had some preliminary designs, and they looked pretty good. It's going to look a little bit more professional, but still fun looking. Not like PayPal, where it doesn't look fun. despite some of the random pictures they may have of people, yay, we're spending money and it's fun. pictures. But smart. Yeah, and Diana Nock is going to be, like I said, trading a computer for artwork. And she's making line art that I'm going to color and use for stock images for the site. Might get her to do some stock images for the Shifter Archive as well, since I have some credit with her now. So I've listed all of, like, you know, the coming stuff under. If you go to the webcomicbeacon.com and click on the About page, if you scroll down, you'll under Programming, you'll see the divisions I've made for each of the shows. Directors, co-hosts, semi-regulars, site-wide, and of course Witchy Bunny of Hidden Disguises, which is presently doing our vocals for, like, the announcer vocals at the top and the bottom of the show, and I might be utilizing her voice a little bit more. We'll see. Depends on some formats I need to do. I'm very excited. I'm wanting it to get here as soon as possible. But then I'm also like, you know what? You're not ready yet. You still got some stuff to do. It's like, damn it. But we did decide on, it's been a while since we had a regular Webcomic Beacon episode. So I haven't really talked about it all that much. And this is going to be probably an extra long episode now that I'm looking at the time. But I'm hopefully going to be bringing a web fiction podcast out called Web Fiction World. And we'll have a girl host for that one if I can get a hold of her, if she didn't disappear. So that'll be the first I actually have, like, the prime director, you know, is a girl. And AM Hart of, I mean, you're here with us, but you know what I mean.
I'm constantly amazed by your gender fascinations. That's all.
Yeah, I have gender fascinations. I like to be fair, and I do like women and more than men, to be honest. You know, I'm a little bit of a misandrist.
Yeah, just a touch.
But yeah, so I'm excited anyway. And stuff. I don't really have much to go about this. I feel like I've talked about this, like, all the time.
You're excited.
Yeah. But, you know, it's been a while. Next week on the Webcomic Beacon, we're going to have a show. We're going to have a showcase, a community showcase. We're going to have some of the Activate people on from act-i-vate.com. We've talked about them a couple of times. That's the one site they had that Sam and Lila something like that. Or that one romantic sort of comic. Which was... very bubblegum, but I really liked the art style. It was really cool.
I always feel so bad when you have romantic comics on. I'm like, oh, wow, the art's great. I'm not going to read this ever. It just
well, yeah, I know, but they won't be there, but I think some of the current people will be there. They got Dean won't be available. I think the guy is somewhat in charge of the site won't be available, but we'll have them on the show and get into Activate, what it's about, and some of the current projects that are currently on there. I'm being redundant, and I think it's time to go, Fess. So Tanya, welcome back. Yeah. It feels like it's been a month since you've been on.
Hasn't it?
I think so.
I do believe so. I do believe it's been a month. Yes.
And Mark's been missing because he's moving.
He's moved.
He moved, and he's still setting up. So when he comes back, we'll hear all about his ventures from not New England to still not New England.
Secondary not New England.
Secondary not New England. But
it's not as miserable.
I think he's going, where is he? He's going coming a little bit more Midwest, I think.
He's in Michigan.
He's in Michigan. Moved from
North Dakota, wasn't it? No, not North Dakota. No, it was North Carolina.
No, it was Ohio, I think.
No, he was not in Ohio.
No, it wasn't. Well, it was somewhere more east than Michigan, I think. But not quite east enough to be.
It was a north something. I think it was North Carolina. Regardless, he's.
Well, maybe he lied to me. I thought he said Ohio.
Wait, I
have to find his address because there's a P.O. box somewhere and I can find it. Anyway, he didn't really disclose that on the show, so I'm not going to. Anyway, that's all for the Webcomic Beacon this week. The extra long episode, I'm thinking, until. And let's see if I cut it down a bit. But I've been Fess of Too Many Things to List.com.
This is Tanya of the Webcomic Beacon.
Yes. And stay tuned to webcomicbeacon.com. Follow us on Twitter at webcomicbeacon for any new developments that may happen. And this has been episode 181. Okay, bye.